Welcome to the Golden State Media Concepts College Football Podcast, your ticket to all things college football. Are you looking to get your college football fix? Looking to get the latest news on your favorite school's team? Join us as we talk college football from the national championship to college rivalries to bowl games to the Heisman Trophy to which conference is the best. We've got you covered for the Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, Pac-12. ACC, and everything in between.
What is up? Welcome into the GSMC Football Podcast. I'm your host, Tom Doherty. And of course, that means this is the college football edition of the GSMC Football Podcast, always brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. We have some news from College World to bring you here today on the show on a Wednesday. And of course, we're post-draft, so as much as my draft ranting I want to do, I might, well, you never know. I'll find a way to fit the draft in there, of course. Last show we went over all the different schools that were winners and losers that, I don't know what you call them, winners and losers. They're losing good players. But, I mean, you got to like it when you have a guy from your alma mater, from your school, makes it in the NFL. And Alabama, like we said, had the most guys go into the NFL. They had four guys in the first round go. The SEC led the way with the most players picked from that conference, followed by the ACC, Big Ten, and Pac-12. So, Big 12, not so much. We had a bunch of small school guys go as well. So, but in this show, we're really talking about the ESPN. There's been some rankings coming out. We have obviously a lot of way too early rankings come out. Alabama has kind of leapfrogged over Clemson in those way too early rankings. Now that we're done with spring football, and I think that's basically due to the fact that they have a more, I wouldn't say it's a clearer option at quarterback, but both those schools are dealing with quarterback. A controversy competition. There's a fine line between those. I would call it controversy now. Now that Jalen Hurts has come out and said that he doesn't want to stay at Alabama, if he doesn't get the starting job, he's come out and said that he's going to transfer. Tua Tagovailoa, I mean, he obviously did not come into the do much in the spring practice because of the fact that he did break that bone in his hand, fracture the bone in his hand. But it does look like it's going to be Tua in the fall. I just think he's the prototypical quarterback that Nick Saban is looking at. I mean, the way he came in to that game against a tough Georgia defense, took control of the game, won the game for them. This guy's a young kid. He was a freshman last year, now coming into his sophomore season, of course. But in the national championship game, the guy got sacked, he got taken down, lost, like, I think it was like, what, 15, 20 yard loss almost on that third down play, third down play in the overtime. Whereas if he doesn't get a touchdown on the next play, I thought the game was over. That was over. No chance. Over. Georgia wins. No ifs, ands, or buts. And then he comes out and throws an absolute dime over the top to his receiver down the left side to get the win. And I mean, did everything right. Didn't lose any moxie. Didn't lose any confidence. Got up there to the line of scrimmage and looked off the safety and threw an absolute. I mean, this absolute rope right to the guy over the shoulder on that left sideline. We all saw it when we watched the national championship game. But that's what starters are made of, right there. He didn't play much during the regular season. Well, and when he did play, he played very well, mind you. But I think Jalen Hurts, his talents could be used somewhere else. I think he definitely had his struggles throughout his tenure at Alabama. Maybe get into a place where he could be more of a runner. They're not going to throw as much. But I think that, I mean, how could you, when you have a guy like Bo, I mean, they're not going to have Bo Scarborough. Obviously, he's done. I didn't really talk about it. I didn't see him talk about, I told you I'd get a chance to talk about the draft because we talk about these guys from Alabama. Where did Bo Scarborough go? Cowboys grabbed him. Oh, lucky Cowboys. They got Bo Scarborough, whether they picked him in the draft or they picked him, they got him undrafted. Yeah, he was a 7th round pick, pick 236. So in the 7th round, the Cowboys snagged Bo Scarborough. That might be a good little pick for the Cowboys there. As the Alabama running back was pretty impressive throughout the college football playoff. All right. So, I mean, getting back to these rankings and the outlook for this season, he struggled. He didn't do very well against his own team. I know it is a tough defense. Like we talked about it in the past shows, the fact that the Alabama defense is very good, and when you have guys going against their own teammates, the defense might have a little bit more push on that offensive line. Jalen Hurts was running around pretty well and a lot and trying to get away from would-be tacklers. Not that they would tackle him anyways. You can't really touch the quarterback. That's why they wear a different color jersey. You don't want to hurt your own quarterback, obviously. But he did throw an interception and only completed 19 of 37 pass attempts for just under 200 yards in that spring game. So got to think about it if you're Nick Saban. Obviously, the defensive line's going to be really good. They lost Deron Payne early in that draft. Deshaun Hand also left, but it looks like that they got guys like Raquan Davis, Isaiah Bugs, and Quinton Williams who are looking darn good this spring. A big reason why Jalen was probably running around behind that in that pocket a lot during the spring game. But this Tide defense looking like they're going to be another great Nick Saban defense. All right, the reason why I think Clemson dropped to number two is because of the uncertainty quarterback, the fact that they already have a starter who, yeah, is fighting for this, for just keep his spot, just like Jalen Hurts is. He didn't have anybody usurp him during the season like Tua did in the national championship game, but Clemson has a guy named Trevor Lawrence who came in, graduated high school early in December, came in, played spring ball this past few months, already enrolled in the school. Early enrollee, and when you're an early enrollee, you're putting up balls. Like, I mean, I saw him watching him in the spring game he threw. This guy's throwing dimes, absolute ropes over the top of the defense. They're dropping right in the bucket. I mean, he is the number two recruit overall in the ESPN 300 ranking. So, I mean, Trevor Lawrence is going to get his chance to start for Clemson at some point. It's just, when is it going to be? Is it going to be this season? Maybe next season? Kelly Bryant is a senior this year, so it would be kind of tough for him to take on take the back seat to the freshman if he's not able to keep up his stats. I mean, he did not fare very well, just like kind of like Jalen Hurts did. We're seeing the same kind of trend here, but Jalen Hurts did not do well in the spring game. Kelly Bryant didn't do that well in the spring game either, and Trevor Lawrence did pretty nicely in his limited duties. But yeah, I mean, it was he went 11 for 16 for 222 yards in the spring game. So, I mean, he's definitely showing off that he can pretty much do everything. He's 6'5", 205 pounds. I mean, he broke most of Deshaun Watson's records from high school. That both those guys going to school in Georgia. So, those Georgia State records were up for grabs, and Lawrence definitely grabbed those when he had a chance to do it. Now we're going to go down the line as we're looking at the rest of the top five here, Ohio State and Georgia. We're pretty much going to do it. This is what we're going to do with this show. I'm going to give you an outlook on pretty much my thought on every team as we go throughout this top five. We'll probably do the top five in the first segment, the 6 through 10 in the second segment, 11 through 15 in the third segment, and then probably quickly do like 16 through 25 in the last segment. That's probably what we're going to do today on this show is deciding that we're going to give every team its due as we're coming through here in the second segment. We're talking about Ohio State. Obviously, Urban Meyer has to make a decision this offseason. You know, with JT Barrett going, he actually did go undrafted through this NFL draft. I know he got signed by somebody. I have it down here. I just want to see where he ended up going. I mean, I know he was definitely not one of those top guys that we were thinking would go, but he did sign with the Saints after the draft was over. So he was undrafted, and he did go to New Orleans. would be interesting to see if he's going to get maybe a chance to be a backup for Drew Brees, or maybe he'll probably learn something from the Saints quarterback there, down there in New Orleans. All right, get back to Ohio State. Just be out. He's got to they got to replace JT Barrett. They got I mean, hearing signs, seeing reports saying that Dwayne Haskins, a sophomore, has the best chance to be the replacement for JT Barrett under center. There's also a guy named Joe Barrett Burrow. He's a junior. He doesn't win the job. He could also leave as a graduate transfer. So a couple of guys, we're seeing a lot of that trend over here, as we're seeing guys who aren't going to be able to win the starting job, or might not win the starting job, go take their talent somewhere else, just like we saw in Michigan. Milton Spate decided to transfer when he kind of figured out that, the Wolverines are going to be able to get Shea Patterson to come over and play for him. So we'll see how that affects their ranking as well. All right. But yeah, Ohio State, they're never going to be out of the top 10 too far. I mean, they're three right now. I mean, out of the top five, that is, out of too far ever, because of the fact, I mean, they have Urban Meyer, a legendary coach, but also that defense is pretty good. Obviously, they have had some injury issues. One of their big linebackers got hurt. So, I mean, he's going to have to get some help there, as they're going to have a four-star prospect in Baron Browning, who is going to have to step up, and he definitely has been playing pretty well in the spring. He's going to get up there in the depth chart, so have to figure that out. All right, going on to Georgia here, as we're going to finish off the top 10 in this segment. Georgia is number four now. They kind of flip-flopped here on this ranking with Ohio State. Jake Fromm coming into that second season as a quarterback in the sophomore year can only get better, I think. But it looks like he's going to have to look for some replacements in the backfield. Obviously, Nick Chubb, Sony Michel go to the NFL. But they got DeAndre Swift. He's missing some time with injury, but he's also very good, too, in that backfield for the Bulldogs. Obviously, Nick Chubb and Sony Michel were one of the most, if not the most, prolific tandem there in the backfield in FBS. I'm just saying FBS history. They're probably one of the best, if not the best, tandem there for the Tigers. For the Bulldogs, they're both gone. It's going to be DeAndre Swift and Zamir White, the number one. Zamir White, the number one tailback in the ESPN 300, who is also recovering from an ACL injury. So have both their sprinters, both their runners in the backfield coming off injuries, but I'll have to figure that out. They also have some young receivers coming into there, as they got to figure out the old chemistry between Jake Fromm and their receivers, as Jason Stanley, Jeremiah Holman, Tyler Simmons, and Trey Blunt, as they look to become more consistent and get back on that same ground as they were last year, getting into the national championship game. On defense, like I said, their defense was pretty good last year. Obviously, they had Roquan Smith in the middle there. He goes to the Bears in that draft. They got DeAndre Walker and Walter Grant, who could be guys who can start on the outside for him. And then Monty Rice was a guy in the spring who really emerged and is going to be a guy to think about as a playmaker coming into the season. All right, last team in the top five as we go into the break here. Oklahoma is number five. Baker Mayfield, obviously number one pick overall, goes to the Browns. He's going to be replaced likely by Kyler Murray, who was the guy who transferred from Texas A&M he's also one of the most decorated, if not the most decorated. We'll talk about a decorated high school quarterback when we come back after the break with our number six team. But this is Kyler Murray, who also, I mean, in Texas, pretty much has all the records coming out of Allen High School in Texas there. I mean, if you don't know what Allen High School is, go and look at Allen High School football and look up what their stadium looks like. It's crazy. I mean, I've seen college stadiums not as nice as this is high school football. And Kyler Murray has been in the spotlight for a long time. He's definitely the best candidate to replace Baker Mayfield. But remember, he's a guy who's also batting cleanup playing center field for the baseball team. He's a very talented guy. So, you're looking at another guy named Austin Kendall, who's also narrowed the gap due to the fact that Murray has been doing double duty and kind of having to miss some time, maybe losing some of his chance to be the starting guy for the Sooners. Austin Kendall jumping in there in that conversation. On the defensive side, they need to figure some stuff out. Obviously, Lincoln Riley, offensive coordinator, now head coach, is going to figure out that defensive side. They're going to have a lot better options there, as he's working on guys like Amani Bledsoe and Kenneth Mann to mature a little more this season and become better guys on the defensive line. Obviously, they have some guys coming in as well. Freshman, another early enrollee coming in. Brendan Radley-Hiles coming in, and he's had a nice spring. So if you are a Sooners fan, some outlook there, some things to look forward to. You got some young team coming that could be pretty spicy coming into the season. So look at that. And we'll then cover the 6 through 10 teams when we come back from the break just after these messages.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
All right, welcome back, GSMC Football Podcast, the College Football Edition, as we go through these rankings, the way too early top 25. Washington coming in at number 6 here on these rankings. Obviously, I said we're talking about another quarterback that broke all sorts of records in high school, just like both. I mean, there's a bunch of quarterbacks out there who broke a bunch of records in high school. Obviously, we talked about Trevor Lawrence breaking the record set by Deshaun Watson in Georgia. We had Kyler Murray. It's a Kyler Allen. He went to Allen High School. Kyler Murray breaking all the records in Texas. And then in California, it was Jake Browning who broke all the records for high school quarterbacks. He goes to Washington now, obviously coming into his senior season. He's almost done, and we'll see how his draft stock will improve or he hopefully improved. Last year he played pretty much, I would say he, the thing is I know Jake because I went to high school with him, so it's kind of the name drop a little bit there. But he has had some shoulder injuries, got beat up a little bit in the Alabama game. He obviously was in the Heisman conversation during his sophomore season, got his team all the way into the college football playoff against the Crimson Tide, got beat up in that game against Alabama, and then came back his junior season and didn't have as much arm strength and much behind the ball, so he couldn't really try the ball as much as he wanted to. This year, he's coming back completely healthy. He's got Myles Gaskins at a tailback to offset some of that pressure there. Obviously, a guy he can throw to it out of the backfield as well. So the Huskies could be definitely poised for another run into the CFP in for a Pac-12 championship. So look for that to happen. I know they're looking for a replacement for Dante Pettis, who went to the Niners in that second round. They got another guy named Chico McClatcher who could help in that slot receiver role for Jake Browning. I mean, I know a lot of the guys he had receivers for in high school. Not a lot of them went to D1 schools. I mean, he's got now these D1 receivers guys coming into out of high school into Washington, good enough to play D1 and Pac-12. I mean, he can make pretty much anybody that good. That's how good of a quarterback Jake can be. But they definitely have some guys like Aaron Fuller, Ty Jones, and Andre Baselia, who could be some pass-catching threats and weapons for Jake to get at during the offseason. So we'll see. But now they got a guy named their receivers coach. He was their former receivers coach. He's coming back now as offensive coordinator. Did spend last season with the Falcons. That's Bush Hamden. So he's looking now as the defensive backs coach. Jimmy Lake was now promoted to defensive coordinator. So some coaching shuffles there for Chris Peterson's staff. But they're looking like they could be another team to look out for. Best team in the Pac-12 coming into the season for sure. At number 7, Washington, you got Alex Hornibrook with Jonathan Taylor as the tailback there, setting a bunch of records last year. They got all their linemen coming back. Looking like they can be another team to look out for in the Big Ten over there in the West. I mean, pretty much their only – that's the thing is they play in the Big Ten West versus the Big Ten East is, like I've said before, is quite the gauntlet. But you got Ohio State, Michigan State, Michigan, Penn State all over there versus Wisconsin. In the West is just basically got Northwestern to worry about. I mean, we'll see how Nebraska does with Scott Frost in his first season, but it looks like that Washington could be Wisconsin could be a team that could again fight for another Big Ten championship, as they weren't able to get it last year, losing to Ohio State in that title game. So it's interesting how all those teams in the West will go against Wisconsin, and also the teams in the East battling against themselves. And Wisconsin's schedule, I was looking at Nebraska's schedule, they have a tough one. Wisconsin should be having a tough schedule as well this year, as they're coming off of a first place finish in their division. That's kind of how you change the schedules around. You got to give them a little more tough. They're going to have some road games coming this week, coming to this year. They have to go to Michigan. They go play Penn State at Penn State. They don't play Ohio State this year, though, it looks like. No Ohio State on the schedule. They have to go to Iowa, go to Michigan, go to Northwestern, and go to Penn State this year. Their home games are against, and they have to go to Purdue, which could be a tough one too. That's the second to last game before they have their big rivalry game against Minnesota to finish the season at home. So everybody else, though, the home games looking pretty good. They have Nebraska at home, BYU at home, New Mexico, and Western Kentucky to start the season. Usually you have the cupcake games to start the season. But then they finish with Minnesota at home and Rutgers at home as well, the last two home games of the season. So kind of a mixed bag for Wisconsin. No Ohio State, they don't have to play Ohio State, don't have to play Michigan State, but they do have to go to Penn State, and they have to go to Michigan and Iowa. So those all could be toughies for the Badgers as they look to get back in the conversation for a college football playoff spot, as well as they have a couple guys coming back. I said all their linemen coming back. Left tackle Deitner and Ditson did miss some time in the spring with injuries, but shouldn't be a big issue, as they have some time obviously to come back. Also, their defense is looking to revamp themselves, as they lost both their starting ends and two outside linebackers and the three or four starters in the secondary. So they're looking like their defense got pretty much taken out by the draft, and they're going to have to find some names to replace that. So Wisconsin, they could be all right. At number eight is Miami, who was actually kind of the surprise team. Everybody thought they were kind of a year or two early. This was the year they're supposed to be the team to look at. Malik Rozier, who set a record last year with touchdowns, and he was pretty good during the spring. Did lead him to 10 wins in the season. Threw too many interceptions at the end of the season. That's true. As did lead him to three straight losses to finish off that year. They kind of petered out, but looks like Rozier has held off the freshmen's Nicozi Perry and Cade Weldon. Also, there's an early enrollee, Jaron Williams, who were all coming in to vie for that quarterback job. But looks like Mark Richt has kept that competition throughout the spring, and will also continue through preseason camp. So Rozier, I would think, has to be comfortable in his position, but he obviously wants to keep the fire under him hot, so he doesn't get complacent or feel like he's already wrapped the job up. The competition will continue throughout the spring camp and preseason camp. Obviously, they have the running game is a big deal too. You got to deal with that running back, as they have a freshman guy, Lorenzo Lingard, is coming up. He's the number 60 ranked player in the ESPN 300 coming into this draft class. This recruiting class, not quite draft yet. Recruiting class. He did enroll early, and he'll be able to help right away as a freshman coming into the season. Their defense was a strength last year. Obviously, the turnover chain was a big deal with that ball hawking secondary. Their defensive line also was a big deal, as they have to revamp it now. All these guys, I mean, Chad Thomas, RJ McIntosh, and Kendrick Norton all went to the NFL, have to be replaced. And they had another guy, DJ Johnson, who is a highly regarded end, has transferred to Oregon. So it looks like that they're going to have to do some work. Also, they lost one of their defensive line coaches as he goes to Alabama. So it looks like that they're trying to get some guys. They have a former Florida player. They got some other guys coming over from
other teams and play guys who missed last season due to injury and off-season issues, so off-field issues. So it looks like they're going to have to revamp that defensive line. That'll be a big question mark for them coming into the season. All right, last two teams. Michigan State is coming in at number 9. As they look to get, I mean, they had a kind of a surprise season last year, a little up and down, but they finished off 10-3 after a terrible year in 2016. But they're looking like their quarterback is going to be a guy they can get behind. Obviously, Brian Lewerke was better last year. I mean, coming off of a pretty bad season, but he became the first quarterback at Michigan State to throw for more than 2,500 yards and run for 500. They also have a good tailback, LJ Scott, who coming back for he ran for more than 2,500 yards in 3 seasons, which is pretty nice. So obviously, they have another some talent also on the outside. Felton Davis III will lead a good receiving core as they will try and get that offense the passing game down. They're pretty much a pro style with Mike D'Antonio running that offense, pro style offense there at Michigan State. Number 10, actually Michigan jumping up to number 10. They weren't expected to be that good this year, but now with the coming allowing Shea Patterson to make that transfer over from Ole Miss and not have to sit out a year. He's going to be able to play this year. He's going to be eligible. And he threw for almost 2,300 yards last year with 17 touchdowns before getting hurt last year at Ole Miss, and is going to be one of the more athletically gifted quarterbacks. I thought Jalen Hurts would be a guy to come over and play for Michigan if he didn't get a chance to play at Alabama this year, but it looks like that Jim Harbaugh will have his guy in Shea Patterson. First time he's going to have a guy who's really this gifted athletically to have as a quarterback and be able to get under Jim Harbaugh's tutelage. Just been one knock on Harbaugh in his time at Michigan. He hasn't been able to get that quarterback where he wants it to be. The quarterback position has been a question mark for the Wolverines throughout the time he's been there. He's obviously had some injuries. He had a guy who played defense, played both ways, going their third string quarterback. So had some definitely some issues. But now the fact that Patterson has, they did obviously expect him to move over and play quickly. But now they're up in the 10th position, as they think that Patterson will make a big deal for the Wolverines offense. Not going to fix everything, but they got to be able to have a quarterback to start somewhere. All right, final team. That was number 10. Michigan is number 10. So, as we are going to save the rest of them for number 11 for the next segment here, as we're going through the top 25 on this this ESPN list here. I'm just going over and giving you my thoughts. Obviously, I think Michigan, I was actually kind of surprised. I was giving my thoughts on what's going on here. I thought Michigan was a bit high to start off. I mean, maybe they thought that they always thought that these who are put the rankings together thinks that they're going to be getting Shea Patterson. Obviously, they did. So they have Michigan up there at number 10. I would probably drop them a little bit lower, maybe to the 15, probably, because they figure out, I think West Virginia, who I see coming up here on this list, I mean, is a little bit better. I like Michigan State being up there, getting those Big Ten schools some love. I think Stanford will figure their stuff out with KJ Costello. I think they're a little low. We'll get to them eventually on this list. But they need to figure that stuff out. Obviously, with Bryce Love, I think they should be up there, maybe number 10 instead of down where they are now. But I'll give you my thoughts on that when we get to that, over to those rankings there. As there is the AP rankings, there is the ESPN, everybody has their own rankings and wants to give their thoughts on what's going on in college football, even though we're just in the beginning of May, as we're getting at the end of spring ball here, or through the end of spring ball here and getting into the preseason practices over the end of the summer, and then we're going to get into some real football, which is always nice. Gotta like football. Gotta like football season. College does get a little head start on the NFL, but we'll probably be talking about a lot of different stuff when it comes getting closer to the season. But you gotta like what Michigan's doing. They finally get the quarterback for Jim Harbaugh. Michigan State coming off of interesting and rough offseason with some of the allegations that was going on surrounding them, the football team and the basketball team.
Miami had a rough end of the season last year, looking to bounce back. And then obviously at number seven is Wisconsin, who had a pretty easy schedule. Were able to win all those games last year, won a bunch of games. But let's see how they do it this year with this schedule. And then at Washington, Jake Browning with his senior season, his last chance to get into that draft stock up, get his draft stock up there, maybe be a guy to talk about next year in the NFL draft, might drop a little bit. We'll see what happens with him. All right. As we come to the end of the segment, we're going to go 11 through 16 in the next segment, and we'll do that right after these messages.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
All right, welcome back to GSMC Football Podcast, the College Football Edition. And as always, I'm your host, Tom Doherty, for these College Football Editions of the GSMC Football Podcast. We're going through the top 25 teams in the college football rankings here. We have the Way Too Early rankings, AP rankings coming out now the end of the spring. Alabama jumped up on top of these rankings now with spring over, and Clemson having some question marks around them with the quarterback. Now we're down at number 11. West Virginia comes in at 11. They jump a couple spots. Will Grier is coming back, quarterback. Has a lot of weapons on the outside, one of the deepest receiving core, and they also returned four of their linemen. So you'll like that, keeping the offense together, keeping that rhythm, and that all that camaraderie, but it's more like knowing what everybody's going to do, basically. Rhythm. Offense is all rhythm, and they're able to keep that going for them. On the defensive side, the Mountaineers have taken some blows, have taken some hits on defense. They had some issues with some torn ACLs. I know they had Quandarius Qualls had an injury, linebacker during the spring. He had a torn ACL during the spring. Hopefully, they're thinking that he can come back some point during the season. Dana Holgorsen coming in saying that, I mean, they need to be able to score. I mean, they need to be able to stop people from scoring. That's the problem with Dana Holgorsen's defenses. They've been a little bit porous throughout his tenure. I know that they're going to be getting a graduate transfer from USC. Kenny Bigelow is coming over to replace McDougal at nose tackle, and they have a converted safety, Derek Pitts, looking like he's going to be a corner. And he's going to be doing pretty well during the spring. At number 12 was Notre Dame. They're way up in these rankings, coming all the way up to number 12. Obviously, they figured themselves out at quarterback with Brandon Winbush, as he's again looking for that starting job. Had some chances last year, but he's obviously Ian Book came in during the Citrus Bowl and was pretty good. But Brandon Winbush was the guy last year before getting injured, and looks like he wants to get back in that starting position. They are going to have some good stuff on the defensive side of it, though. They got a new coordinator. They got some good linebackers in Devon Coney, Drew Tranquil coming in, defensive tackle Jerry Tillery. So I mean, they got some stuff all over. Good players, big players all over that defense. It's going to be getting pretty good there for Notre Dame. As they've always been a team that's going to ground and pound you, but also play good solid defense and hold you to low scoring games there. Where do they play? They play in South Bend, Indiana. That's where they are. South Bend, Indiana, Notre Dame. All right. 13 is Penn State, dropping all the way down to 13 after obviously losing Saquon Barkley and Sean Hamilton leaving.
with him to the NFL. They lost a couple coaches as well. So James Franklin is going to have to figure some stuff out, as they have Trace McSorley coming back at quarterback, obviously, and some of the best offensive line stuff, talent and coaching coming back as well. So they have something figured out. They have a junior named Miles Sanders, who's looking like he's going to be good and ready to replace Saquon at running back. They have a couple good receivers that are looking like they're going to be having some weapons for Trace McSorley. I mean, you got to have guys to throw to, obviously, but having some guys that you can put names to and maybe be guys you could think about going to the NFL as well. Juwan Johnson, Jahdrey Tompkins, back at receiver, as they are going to be trying to get back into this conversation in the Big Ten. Obviously, playing in the Big Ten East is a tough task. Always been kind of the second fiddle to Ohio State, and maybe even third fiddle with Michigan, and even Michigan State in there too. So, but I mean, when you have Trace McSorley, obviously you got a chance. He's a good quarterback. They had Saquon. You think that Sanders can be a guy to get in there and fill in Saquon's shoes just as well. So hopefully they could do that. All right. At number 14 is Stanford, who I think should be higher. I'm a little partial being out here in California. I watch a lot of Stanford games. Bryce Love is really good. KJ Costello is going to be really good. But it looks like that Jack Richardson took advantage of the fact that those guys were hurt. I mean, they had two guys, Davis Mills and KJ Costello, both get hurt and not really play at all during the spring. Jack Richardson came in and went 20 for 30 with 171 yards and two touchdowns in a spring game. So did get a scholarship. He was a walk-on and was awarded a scholarship by David Shaw. So, I mean, there at Stanford, it is an interesting thing with their football team, obviously, with the high rigorous, high demand from the academic side of it being out of Stanford. Obviously, it's the same kind of thing in Notre Dame, which is why you got to give these schools kind of props there with some of these athletes who just, I mean, we saw Richard Sherman when he came and told you what their schedule was at Stanford. I mean, they got early morning weights, they got study hall, they got class, they got practice after that, they got to do homework. I mean, it's a full day. It's almost like a 12-hour day every day for these Stanford guys. I mean, hopefully they get on some sort of routine, but I mean, it's just kind of ridiculous, and be able to play football at a high level like they usually do. Obviously, they know that their offensive and defensive lines usually are very solid. They find some big guys to play there. I mean, they have Bryce Love coming back, like I said, Heisman Trophy guy, who probably, I think, should have won that Heisman Trophy last year, but that's just my thought personally. But I mean, he's a guy who can definitely run with everybody and be a guy who they can rely on this year. I think KJ Costello does get back in that starting job. We'll see what Jack Richardson does. Obviously, was good enough to get a scholarship, and I mean, you gotta like that. Obviously, Stanford isn't cheap. We'll just go over that really quick. Stanford, and not cheap education. And if you can take advantage of a couple injuries and be able to show out on the football field during spring ball and get a scholarship, get your school paid for, I mean, that's pretty nice. That's one of the niceties of college football there. I mean, I know there's guys who are coming in with scholarships that were offered to them in their junior season and get put through all the rigors and think they should get a little more from it. But if you could take a page out of Jack Richardson's book and be like, oh, wow, see how that's really what makes you realize how much value these scholarships have. But don't get me started. I'll go into a whole rant about how these cultural play, especially the college football and basketball players on the top level, should be compensated somehow, or at least be able to use their likeness to have some sort of gain. The fact that I think that's taken away from the NCAA is ridiculous. The fact that you can't get an agent or sign anything. I mean, they're playing on these high profile, you're putting their names all over TV, putting their likeness all over TV, and they can't take advantage of that. It is absolutely ridiculous. There, quick little soapbox, but especially talking about a school like Stanford, where you're just absolutely grinding every single day out on the football field and also in class, trying to get all this stuff done and get into your. I mean, I think Andrew Luck was a double major. I've seen Bryce Love as a human biology major. This guy probably is. I mean, I know guys that want to be scientists, wants to be doctors, are going to be guys going to law school. I mean, these are football players. Yeah, we see them every Saturday on TV, but they're also in class, hitting the books, hitting the studying. I mean, these guys probably do nothing but football and school. I mean, I feel like, how do they have social lives? I don't understand how this works sometimes. But, yeah, if you're Jack Richardson, that is a one silver lining side of the whole scholarship athlete, college football, and yeah, we're not going to pay you, but we're going to give you an education. Yeah, at Stanford, great. You're going to get a Stanford education for free. That sounds good. But if you're talking, I can go over all this stuff that's happened across the country, looking at UNC with these paper classes, putting people through classes where you literally, they write one paper and that's their grade. They don't go to class. They just like, oh, we'll have you write one essay and it's class. I mean, now with these online classes and stuff like that, it is a little bit more easier to kind of maybe, I don't know if you're going to hide it or call it a real class, but they've been caught red-handed and there's been issues all across the country. So just thinking of that makes me go on a little tangent and think about the fact that, there is good and there's bad in the NCAA. And we did have a good thing happen over in Palo Alto with David Shaw being able to give Jack Richardson a scholarship after he walked on and showed out. I mean, showed up and showed out his talents at the quarterback position over spring ball in the spring game. So, I mean, Jack Richardson is a sophomore, 6'5", 189 pounds. So, I mean, you got to like that if you are a Stanford fan, big, tall quarterback getting back out there. Maybe put some meat on them bones, turn into the next Andrew Luck. You never know. I think I've watched enough Cage Costello. I like him too. So he's a good quarterback as well, caused Keller Crist and Brian Burns. Well, Brian Burns, I think, was out of eligibility. He was done. But Keller Crist decided to leave and transfer because he knew he did not really have a chance after after he got hurt, and then KJ Costello kind of took over that job. Costello's got to be careful though, making sure he gets better and is able to take back his job as Jack Richardson is creating a decision basically for David Shaw. All right, enough about Stanford. 15 is Virginia Tech. They obviously lost a couple guys. They had the Edmonds brothers, Tremaine and Terrell, in their defense. They both are gone. Steelers got Terrell Edmonds. He was the safety, and then Tremaine went 16th overall to the Bills. He was the linebacker, the 19-year-old. So Hokies defense is going to have to find a way to replace them, as they were not able to really do that. I mean, they had the spring over the whole spring. They couldn't really resolve that secondary. They had some interesting options there. They have a senior in Adonis Alexander, but he missed the spring game to focus on his academics, get his stuff all in order. Man, obviously, you got to be academically eligible to play in the regular season. Then another guy who's recovering from an injury, and then a couple other guys were doing stuff, were actually coming in to work because of the absence, and there was especially guys like an early enrollee like Jermaine Walker who came in as an early enrollee to be able to take those reps at in the secondary for the Hokies. Also, they did lose a couple coaches, obviously, did resign on Friday. They had a co-defensive coordinator and safeties coach, Galen Scott. He abruptly resigned on Friday, citing personal reasons, and he's saying that that's issues, as we have a report from the Washington Post. I'm now getting my reports and saying that he did step down after admitting to use personal trips to pursue an extramarital affair. So, yeah, I would have issues there as he takes a leave there and decides to step down. And now a former player who was an interim assistant coach and has been promoted to an interim assistant coach, Justin Hamilton, will take over that spot on the staff for the Hokies. Tough run in there. All right. We'll go over the 16th team. I think, yeah, I said 11 through 16. Yeah, 11 through 16. 16 is Mississippi State with the new coach. I mean, Joe Moorhead is new head coach there as he leaves Penn State for Mississippi State. Dan Mullen now over at Florida, the former coach there for the Bulldogs, as they try and get their name better up in that echelon of the SEC, definitely down below. I mean, with the Alabamas and the LSUs and the Floridas, Auburns, Georgias, definitely not as tough sledding there for Mississippi State. They got four I mean, you got four of his, you got four linemen returning. You got your running back Aries Williams coming back. I mean, it's going to be that should be all right for them. They obviously have Nick Fitzgerald, their quarterback, as they eased him back into practice this spring. He did dislocate that right ankle at the last season's in the Egg Bowl last year against Ole Miss. So he's going to have to take his time getting back there. And at the chance under center to get a chance to perform well under center, but Mississippi State looking like they can get back up in the upper echelon of the SEC. All right, that'll wrap it up for this segment as we got through the teams 11 through 16. We'll do 17. We'll quickly go through 17 to 25. The rest of these teams on the list here on my rankings here as we will finish off this episode and we'll bid you adieu until Friday, but. Just stay tuned. After these messages, we'll go over 16 through 25, or 17 through 25. Start it off with a Pac-12 school. Don't miss it.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
All right, welcome back in. Last segment of the day on a Wednesday. We are going through the new revamped rankings that were released today, post-spring rankings. I'm giving you my takes on where these teams should be. I'm probably giving you... I'm going to probably come up with my own rankings. They're not going to be too... They can't be too far off from these teams, these rankings either way. So, I mean, AP rankings are pretty nicely done. At 17, they have USC... I think it's a little high, honestly, actually. They were not very good last year. They had Sam Darnold to carry them along last year. Obviously, Ronald Jones is a good running back, too. But, I mean, they think about USC's, they almost seem like they're underachieving because they should have such a good recruiting program. Clay Helton isn't that top tier of a coach, probably, that they would want or need at USC, but... Looks like they have a guy who can be their replacement for Sam Darnold. They have an incoming freshman, JT Daniels, who is forgoing his senior year in high school. Is that what it says? I'm reading all these reports now about JT Daniels. Like, it says he's wrapping up his junior season and at Mater Dei High School in Santa Ana. And then obviously there's the sophomore, Matt Fink, and the redshirt freshman, Jack Sears, who battled for the job during spring practice. So, it looks like he's going to be graduating. Reclassified to the class of 2018, will graduate from high school. I had it scheduled by a year, so he could be the front runner, actually. If you're a guy who's going to be coming out that quickly from high school, you think you're ready to play college football. JT, they're saying that Sam Darnold could have used one more year in college. He came out and got drafted third pick overall. So, I wouldn't question what's going on there with the Daniels family, but looks like he could be the front runner to replace Darnold. He played darn well in high school. Mater Dei does not play an easy schedule, and he went 15-0 last year, and he passed for over 1,200 yards in 152 touchdowns and 14 interceptions in three seasons there at the school in Santa Ana. I don't think that's good enough to beat Jake Browning, though. He did already come down and watch USC, has had time with the staff, has definitely done his homework regarding the film and what have you, but definitely will be looking at the playbook and has hung out with the coaches in the spring as they're ready for him to come in the fall. All right, 18 is UCF. They, I remember they're coming off the season last year with the, it was perfect. They're losing their head coach in Scott Frost, however, did come out with that national championship banner and rings and all that. I gave you my thoughts on that. I think in the last show, we did go over that, but they're going to have to replace Shaquem Griffin. They're going to replace Burkett and Hughes on defense. Not going to be easy. At 19 is Auburn. They did drop a bunt. They were up there in the talks, maybe get squeaking into that CFP playoff last year with Gus Malzahn getting that team going after they beat Alabama. But they're having some obviously have issues with injuries. They had receivers tear an ACL over the spring. Two of them tore ACLs in the spring and won't be ready for the start of the season. And also, they have lost, obviously, losing Kerryon Johnson isn't nice as well. But Jared Stidham, he's still working his way back from that shoulder surgery, as he definitely was limited during the spring, but he should be ready for the start of the season. 20 is TCU. As we're motoring right along here, 20 is TCU, and they were all right last year. Definitely a team in the Big 12, probably one of the better teams in the Big 12, usually puts their stuff up there, put themselves up there with some good talent. But Gary Patterson thinks he can get himself and that team back into that Big 12 race with Oklahoma. They did have the guy named Sean Robinson. They say he's did enough to solidify himself as his quarterback coming in. He did had a nice spring. They have a couple good receivers. With Jalen Regner, Tay Barber, Jalen Austin also in there to become a big option for him at receiver. So got some choices there. They have a nice couple JUCO transfers and tight ends, a tight end Pro Wells, and then Anthony McKinney also come over from the junior college side and has been making a splash in the springtime. All right. It's going to be a non-conference schedule, which is going to be tough for the Horned Frogs. I mean, if they can get through it, I mean, it's going to be, it'll look nice on their resume for the CFP. They will be playing Ohio State to start off the season in Arlington. They're going to be hosting Oklahoma, Kansas State, and Kansas. So, I mean, and Oklahoma State, and Kansas State during Big 12, all those games will be in Fort Worth. So, gotta like that. Those are going to be big games for your TCU fans out there. Go Horned Frogs for that one. Boise State, they are now at 21, as they're still that school with this. Even when they're in the small conference, they get into those top 25 rankings. I mean, look at that. Look at it. It goes Boise State, then Texas. So yeah, that shows you how good Boise State can be against a big power like that from the Big 12. But looks like that they will have to replace their big, I mean, they already knew they're going to have to replace that linebacker. He was going to go in the first round, regardless of what team he went to, into the Dallas Cowboys. That's Leighton Vander Esch. Went in the first round of the Cowboys. He'll replace him. It looks like that Riley Wimpy. Wimpy. Is that really his name? Riley Wimpy will be the top candidate to start. I mean, looks like on that weak side of the of that for that Lewis linebacker size. They also have a guy named Blake Whitlock and Bruno DeRose, a sophomore. So they got to figure that out on the defensive side. Obviously, they have Brett Ripon, who's looking like he's going to be coming back to in his senior season to be that quarterback to lead the team there. Nice spring. Played two quarters in the spring game, went 15 for 19 for 267 yards, three touchdowns, and but it's also going to be and a difficulty for him as he loses Cedric Wilson to the draft, as he went and set the Boise State receiving record last year and with over 1,500 yards. Also, they have a guy named Octavius Evans. I mean, he's pretty good, too. I watched some film on him. He's a nice deep threat for the Broncos. 22 is Texas. So the Longhorns definitely lost some guys over during the last season. They did lose six games under Tom Herman last year in his first year in Austin, looking at trying to bounce back from that. They're going to have a bounce back year. Could possibly do it like Georgia and Miami did last year. But Longhorns are going to leave spring practice again without a quarterback, a number one quarterback. Obviously, they got Sam Elgar, who might have a slight light edge over the junior Sam Bulishi, but definitely battled
each other out. Bless you's been having some problems with a knee injury and a shoulder, while Ellen Unger did go 13 for 22 with 151 yards in the spring game. And then the competition will continue over the summer and preseason camp, according to Coach Herman. So they're going to figure that out as they go along there in Austin. At 23 is Texas A&M with their new coach, Jimbo Fisher. It's going to be quarterback Nick Starkel, who did throw for almost 500 yards in that game against Wake Forest in the Big Belk Bowl. But they'll be having Kellen Mond also in there to battle him out for the starting job there. Mond and Starkel both threw for two touchdowns in that spring game. So both are kind of just filling their way out. Maybe still going to have to decide as they go along through with the spring at the end of spring practice, with summer practice and preseason, just like a lot of other schools who are going to be looking at. Obviously, they still have that JUCO transfer and Jace Sternberger, who I talked about in a show before, the tight end. He's going to be very nice over there in College Station in Oregon, up in Eugene. Willie Taggart coming over to Florida State. So they're going to be without him. It's going to be a new coach for the Ducks, as they're going to be returning a couple of guys. I mean, Justin Herbert's a good passer. I mean, he is probably the best passer now in the Big 12, now that Sam Darnold's gone, and as well as Josh Rosen. I mean, I think KJ Costello could say something about that. But looks like Oregon could get back into the talk of the top 25, maybe even compete in the Big 12, Pac-12 North. So to figure that out, obviously, with a new coach and such, they're going to have to, with Mario Cristobal, their new coach there in Eugene. So to figure all that out as we go along there. 25, wind up the rankings. South Carolina, obviously, since Spurrier left, it's been kind of interesting. Now they got Will Muschamp up there coming from Florida. He's going to be in their second season. So let's see if he can maybe have a nice little sophomore showing in his second season there in Columbia, as the Gamecocks will try and turn everything around and maybe do something they haven't done in a while, which is get up in that top 10 and compete there in the SEC, which is tough for them, because I mean, they got to go Florida, Alabama. That's the tough side of that SEC. The SEC East has always been a tough division, as they got to deal with Alabama, Florida, Auburn, all those tough schools down there in the Southeastern Conference. So definitely got their work cut out for them, as they do every year in Columbia. All right. That's the top 25. We went through it pretty much. It took me up the whole hour to get through these top 25 teams. Obviously, we still have our number one through five. Alabama still up at number one. Like I said, Tua Tagovailoa making that Alabama team look mighty good, as they have grasped that number one spot over Clemson. I mean, it's probably their questions in the secondary, also questions at the quarterback position, is probably making them look a little vulnerable. But I mean, a little vulnerable through the drop to the number two position. They're still a darn good football team. So we'll be talking about both those teams a lot as we continue on through this off season. As we got through the spring football time, we got through the draft, and now we're getting into the summer camps and such. We'll be watching out for injuries, watching for guys who could be stars that come this season. So that'll wrap it up for this show today on Wednesday. Be sure to turn in on Fridays. We'll do this again. I'll be going through probably each team a little more carefully. We'll probably just be looking at the top 10. I'll go through each team. Maybe everybody gets a segment. I'll go do some in-depth stuff on some of our favorite teams, some of the best teams in college football. So we'll do that on Friday. So until then, everybody enjoy their time. Go make sure you listen to the GSMC football podcast as well. Jesse also does his show on Tuesdays and Thursdays, which is kind of everything NFL, college, and everything. More specifically college, but Jesse will cover your NFL news as well. So do make sure you listen to him on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Same show, just toggle up in your little whatever you listen to your podcast on. You'll find it right next to my show. So we'll see you on Friday, and until then, enjoy your week. See you then.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.